I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To bargain is to negotiate. Sometimes this negotiation has got to do with a deal, where you want to negotiate for a more favorable deal. And sometimes this negotiation may be for a situation, to get yourself out of a difficult or a problematic situation. To bargain has also the idea of trying to persuade someone for something. And sometimes this bargaining in the Bible can be a good kind of bargaining, and sometimes there is also the negative or the bad kind of bargaining. Sometimes the bargaining is also between God and man, and sometimes it is between men. And the question is, with regards to Jephthah, what kind of bargaining was it? We know that this was a bargaining between men and men. But was this a good kind of bargaining or a bad kind of bargaining? Now we have examples of some not so good kind of bargaining in the case of Moses or Elijah. When the Lord first called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, he bargained with God where he gave excuses not wanting to go. When Elijah fled from Jezebel and was afraid, he also bargained with God because he did not want to return to be a prophet to minister for the Lord. And those are two cases of bargaining with God and not the right kind of bargaining. But what we're going to look at this evening for Jephthah was that he tried to persuade men. He tried to negotiate with men. In a good way. Because when we look at the life of Jephthah, we see that he was a man who was filled with the Spirit. And he was one who knew the Word of God. For example, when you go down to verse 29 of chapter 11, the Bible described how the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. You may say that he is one who is filled with the Spirit. And later, when you look at the interaction between Jephthah and the children of Ammon, when he described the history from Scripture as to why Ammon should not attack them, he knew Scripture. He was one who was obedient to the will and to the Word of God. And this is why what we are looking at this evening was a good kind of bargaining, where he wanted to persuade the elders of Gilead to also look to the Lord, to appoint him as judge, because he knew that the Lord has called him as the judge of Israel. And Jephthah wanted to obey the Lord, but the elders had to be persuaded that this was the one whom the Lord has also appointed. And that was what Jephthah desired. That was why he took this effort and he persisted in persuading them to appoint him as the head to deliver Israel out of this oppression from the Ammonites. And this is what we want to learn this evening. What should you do when you know that God has His will and His plan for you, and God is directing you according to His will in His purpose, but men may oppose you, and men may reject you, and the way men may evaluate you is different. They will evaluate you and they will judge you based on their own standards, based on a worldly standard. What would you do? Would you give in to men? Or would you persist on knowing that this is the will of the Lord and to go on in conviction and in faith? Jephthah bargained with men. Even though they were unwilling at first to accept him, but he bargained because he knew that this was the will of the Lord for him. And so we are going to look at three things this evening regarding this bargaining. Firstly, you see the origin before the bargaining. From verses 1 to 3, here we have this situation where Jephthah was born of a harlot. He was a Gileadite, his father was Gilead, but he was born out of an affair. And he was born out of a harlot. And because of this birth, now he was despised and rejected and cast out. In verse 2, the Bible tells us, Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up. And they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. So in this case, we know that Jephthah was born out of a harlot, and he was cast out. Sometimes when it comes to leaders in various ministry or leaders in the church, or leaders even in the Lord's service, we have a picture in our minds, an image of the kind of leaders that we want to appoint, the kind of leaders that we would like. And sometimes this criteria that we would use to judge or to determine whether a person is qualified or suitable to be a leader may not be biblical. Sometimes the temptation will be to use a worldly standard to determine or to judge whether a person is suitable or qualified to be a leader or not. And this was in the case of Jephthah. The people then judged him based on his past, based on his heritage, based on his birth, and they rejected him and they cast him out. Do you also use worldly standards to evaluate, to judge whether a person is suitable or good enough to be a leader? And as one who wants to serve the Lord, if you want to serve the Lord, are you also concerned with how people may look at you, people may judge you or evaluate you if you want to serve the Lord? Sometimes we may, because of our past, feel that we are not good enough or not worthy to serve the Lord. Maybe when we look back at our past, we look back at our birth, and this is what some people do. They blame their past. They blame the circumstances of life. And because of the past, they now attribute where they are and who they are today to whatever has happened in the past. And they say that because this is my past, this was where I was born, how I was born, today, now, I cannot serve the Lord. But perhaps this is an excuse that some may give because they are unwilling or they do not want to do God's work. But regardless of our past, do you know you can serve the Lord if you are a child of God? And this is one very comforting truth that all of us can take, that the Lord uses us not because of certain heritage that we have, or the Lord qualifies us in His service not because we are more educated or of a more noble birth or of a better disposition or better appearance than others. The Lord qualifies us for His service simply because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever your past may be, if you are a child of God, you can be used of the Lord. And this evening, this is a truth that we must think about. Are you one who is in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you are not in the Lord Jesus Christ, then it does not matter what your heritage may be, even though you may be rich, even though you may be of noble birth, even though you may be educated, you cannot be used of the Lord. But if you are a child of God and have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is a wonderful privilege that God gives to each and every one of us. Don't, because of your past, whatever the past may be, you now say you cannot serve the Lord or you blame that past. Don't use your past as an excuse to not serve. The grace of God can save, and the Lord is pleased to use us even despite our past. And this was the case of Jephthah. His lowly birth did not disqualify him from doing the work of the Lord. Another thing that we can observe over here is that the world may evaluate Jephthah based on a different standard, based on a worldly standard. But just because the world rejects you, does not accept you, it again does not disqualify you from serving. You need to know what is your calling and that how the Lord has led you And if this is where the Lord has appointed you, then you go forth with that confidence in the Lord and that conviction in the Lord. Those who are serving the Lord in one way or another, you will surely face criticisms and oppositions in your work. Now, when we think of the great preacher, Charles Spurgeon, even when he was beginning in his ministry, he faced a lot of criticisms. In fact, even throughout his ministry, he faced a lot of criticisms. And some of the charges and the criticisms laid against him was that he spoke in a very base manner. He did not speak like the politicians or the ministers in the House of Lords. He did not speak like one who was speaking in the Parliament. He was speaking, at least from their perspective, in a very crude manner, in a very base manner. And in fact, this was what one of a newspaper report said regarding him at that time. This newspaper criticizing him said of Spurgeon, he is nothing unless he is an actor. Unless exhibiting that matchless impudence, which is his great characteristic. Indulging in coarse familiarity with holy things. Declaiming in a ranting and colloquial style. Shunting up and down the platform, strutting up and down the platform as though he were at the Surrey Theatre, and boasting of his own intimacy with heaven with nauseating frequency. His fluency, self-possession, oratorical tricks, and daring utterance seem to fascinate the less thoughtful hearers who love excitement more than devotion. And this was a criticism laid against Spurgeon. They accused him of using a language that was colloquial, that was coarse. But he did so because he identified with the common people. He did not just want to speak to the nobles, to the rich, but even to the lowly, the uneducated. He wanted them to hear the gospel. That was why he used language that was common to all. But these are the kind of criticisms that people would use. They would judge you based on your heritage, your lowly birth. Now, of course, when criticisms are laid against us, we have to evaluate, check ourselves, see whether these things are true. But if we know that these things are not true, and in the case of Jephthah, he was not to be blamed because he was born of a harlot. They should not have condemned him, rejected him simply because of his birth. And if these criticisms are not true, and you know that this is where the Lord has called you and how the Lord has led you, then you must go on with that confidence and conviction in the Lord. Jephthah knew where the Lord has called him. Now, even though he was found among vain men, now the word vain men in verse 3 described empty men, and this would be empty men from the perspective of the world. From the perspective of the world, they saw these people as vain and rejected. These were all rejected by society. And even though Jephthah was rejected by society, he knew that he had the work of the Lord to do. Be ready, be prepared, that even when men reject you, and how men may measure you according to the standard of the world, remain firm in your conviction. And that's where we see now the bargaining of Jephthah. The persistence in this bargaining, from verses 4 to 7. Now the Lord intervened. And in the Lord's own time now, he allowed the children of Ammon to wage war against the Gileadites. And now as they were about to face this war, the people then realized that they had this great need. And so, the Lord moved these people to now look for Jephthah. In verse 5, the Bible says, it was so when the children of Ammon waged war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. Now we do not know how long Jephthah waited, how long he was in exile, how long he was rejected. But when you know that this is the will of the Lord for you, You remain patient. You wait in the Lord, and you wait upon the Lord, and you trust in the Lord. In the Lord's own time, He will restore. He will vindicate. And here the Lord now move the elders of Gilead to look for Jephthah in order to deliver them from this enemy that they are facing. But Jephthah had to persist, had to remain faithful. He knew that now, as the Lord has called him, and even though they have rejected him initially, he had to obey, he had to return and do the work of the Lord. Now, one thing you can notice was that when Jephthah came back, he persuaded them, he bargained with them, he negotiated with them, but he was never vindictive. He never seeked out revenge. He never called upon those who cast him out and tried to take this advantage of this situation to perhaps do something against those who first cast him out. He knew that this was the work that the Lord wanted him to do, and he had to make sure that the people understood that. But Jephthah was never vindictive, even despite how the people first casted him out. But when you are convicted that God has called you to the work, you must persist on, and you must wait upon the Lord's timing, even when men around you may oppose you or reject you. In the Lord's own timing, He will lead you and call you. Now, when you want to do the work of the Lord, this is what we must be ready to face: oppositions, resistance, rejection. We remember the testimony of Reverend Timothy Toh. When he first founded the Bible College, the Far Eastern Bible College in Singapore, he faced a lot of obstacles. In the first year, they had 3 students. And just after the first semester, 2 students left and only 1 student remained. And the reason why they left was because even in the college itself, the lecturers were saying that this college now has no hope. This college is a sinking ship. And the college, the lecturers told the students that if and when, you know, even when the ship is sinking, the rats will jump out of this ship. So you too, why would you remain here? Later, one of these students went to another Bible college in Singapore, and another student went to a Bible college in Hong Kong, left only 1 student. And you can imagine how Reverend Toh would have felt then. What would be going through his mind? Should I have started this work? Why did I do this? Why do I have to do this? If the people do not want to receive me, if the people do not want to accept this, should I really persist on? Should I really keep on doing this? Is it worth it? This could be the questions that went through his mind. At least this would be the questions that would go through any of our minds when faced with such a situation. Now, I think that for many of us in many other areas of service and ministry, this oftentimes also would be the questions that will go through our mind when we are serving. Should I do this? Is it worth it? You keep preaching and you keep teaching, but there does not seem to be fruits, at least visible in your lifetime, that you can see and witness. Perhaps when Martin Luther first sparked off the Reformation, maybe he also would have wondered, is this really worth it? No, now to face, to be confronted by the most powerful system, organization on earth at that time, the Roman Catholic Church, is it worth it? When you want to do the work of the Lord, you often will be faced with rejection, opposition, and obstacles. But one of the hallmarks of a faithful servant of the Lord is that he will remain persistent. He will endure through. He will remain committed to this cause that he knows that the Lord has entrusted to him. Jephthah must be clear that this was where the Lord has called him. And even despite these oppositions, he must remain faithful. And we thank the Lord because there are so many testimonies of those who, despite these oppositions and rejections, and when they remain faithful, you see the wonderful work of God and the fruits that are born out of it. In the case of Reverend Timothy Toh, you look at the Far Eastern Bible College today, and how many students now are trained. Of course, this is not the work of a man, this is the work of God. But the Lord used Reverend Toh as the instrument, and he had to remain faithful. But today we are seeing the fruits of this faithfulness. When you think also of men like William Carey, who went as a missionary to India even despite the initial opposition and rejection by the missionary board, because he knew that that was the Lord's will. This is also the fruits of his faithfulness today. Will you remain faithful to persist? And this is the kind of bargaining that we need today. This is the kind of persuasion that we need today. The negotiating that we need today. When people say, don't do the work of the Lord. You say, I know I must do this. I know I must stand firm. And we go on despite what men may say. But this is the key. You must make sure you are doing the work of the Lord. So often we will be stubborn. And we will bargain for other things. We will bargain for our own things. We will bargain to get ourselves a good deal. But will you stand firm when it comes to the work of the Lord and the things of God? And that's where we see really the heart and the reason for Jephthah's bargaining. Now when you look at verses 8 to 11, this is the reason and really the heart for his bargaining. When you look at this very carefully, was he bargaining for himself merely to be hate? He understood that all these things that he was doing was in the sight of the Lord. And he wanted the elders of Gilead, the people, to also have the same conviction that now they as the people of God must stand firm against the Ammonites and that the Lord is with them. By appointing Jephthah as the deliverer, he was but the representative of God. God is going to use him. But the elders of Gilead must realize that. And that was what Jephthah understood and saw. That was why he persisted with this bargaining. He was not simply satisfied that they would say, yes, we will choose you as our captain. He wanted them to make this promise with God as the witness. Now you can see this in verse 9 and in verse 10. Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? You notice how Jephthah was very conscious. The Lord deliver them before me. It's the Lord who will deliver us out of the hands of the Ammonites. And then the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. And when you look at the end of verse 11, the Bible says here, Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Jephthah understood that all these things that he said, even this bargaining, and this persuasion, it was all done with the Lord as his witness. You notice how Jephthah was very conscious of his God. It was not enough for Jephthah that the people merely wanted him to be the head. Jephthah wanted them to understand why he was to be appointed as the head. And he wanted the people to look to God as their deliverer. Turn the people's attention to God. Now, this is the reason really for standing firm, for bargaining, for persuading. It must be something greater than ourselves. It must not be for our own cause. Now, why are you so persistent in doing something? When you're serving in a particular ministry, you know, sometimes the reasons why we are persistent in something is because maybe we have a certain preference. Maybe we have a style of doing things. Maybe we have our own way, own habits, something that we are used to, and then we are just so very persistent because of that. But are you sure the cause of that persistence is because it is for the Lord? And that's where we need to be very clear, and this is very important. Our persistence is not for our own sake, our own motive, our own desires. It must be for the Lord, that the people may see that this is the work of the Lord, that the people may see that this is the calling of the Lord. And he wanted the people to make this promise before the Lord. Now, one of the key in all of this is we realize that Jephthah was a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit. You can only persuade men and bargain with men if the Holy Spirit is with you, and if you stand firm upon God's truth and God's word. Eloquence itself is not enough. In the bargaining and the persuasion here, it was not because of Jephthah's eloquence. It's not because of his cleverness of speech. We must realize that we cannot do anything if it is not the Holy Spirit which leads us, and if we do not have the will of God with us. But if you know that what you are doing is the will of God, then will you remain firm and take a stand? When we look at history, we see many wonderful testimonies of those who have taken a stand even when everyone else was opposing them. Now, this was the testimony of Martin Luther at the Diet of Worms, just after he nailed the 95 Theses. He was called to present an account, and he was called for a public debate at this diet called the Diet of Worms. Now, the word diet there describes a public debate where they will argue their points for the rest, for witnesses to hear and to see. And after Martin Luther nailed that 95 Theses, he was given various opportunities to either retract or to recant the statements that he made, the writings that he wrote. He spent time searching through, thinking through, should I take back what I've written or what I've said? Now, bear in mind that in those days, the Roman Catholic Church was the established church. It was the only church that the people knew at that time, because that was also the Dark Ages. The Word of God was hidden from the people. So the people would not know of any other church. To many of them, to be excommunicated or to be cast out from the church, they would see it as being cast out from heaven. They would equate it as even losing your hope of eternal life. That was the circumstances in those days. So what would you do if you are someone like Martin Luther? Would you stand against this established system, against this established church? What Martin Luther declared was simply, my conscience is captive to the word of God. I can do no other. Here I stand. So help me, Lord. He refused to retract or to recant the statements that he made. And he simply entrusted his whole self to the Lord. My conscience is captive to the word of God. Now, this is the kind of people that we need today. This same kind of conviction in the word of God. There's no fear for men. There's no fear of men where we will not be pressured by men, people of influence, people of power. We will not be pressured, afraid that we will lose something, afraid that something may be done to us. But we need men of conviction who will stand firm on the truth, because we know that this is God's will, we know that this is right, and we would persist in it and do it no matter what. To say, here I stand, my conscience is captive to the word of God. That was the conviction that Jephthah had, which was why he persisted, he bargained. He knew that the Lord was his witness. And sometimes today you see people being stubborn and would persist and remain so firm in other things, in their opinions regarding sports, in their opinions perhaps regarding health matters, the opinions of the world. Why is it that people would even argue so strongly for these things? Sometimes all you have to do is you just go on social media, even on politics. Everyone has an opinion on these things, even though you are not really trained in politics. You have an opinion on it, and then you want to argue and fight for these things. You see some of the comments on Facebook, on social media. Now, some of them sometimes can be quite funny, right? Because everyone suddenly becomes an expert in that topic. Everyone suddenly has an opinion on that issue. But why is it that we seem more convicted, even more outspoken on these things that concerns the world? Yet when it comes to the things of Christ, when it comes to taking a stand for the Lord, then we are very afraid. No, we would mellow our words, we would soften our speech, hey, we would try to maybe sugarcoat the things that we will say, hopefully that people will listen to it or be more receptive to it. Now, of course, we don't have to be rude, but we can be firm. We don't have to be unkind, but we can remain convicted. Will this be the kind of bargaining that you have? Jephthah knew that the Lord has called him to be a judge. Now, it was not an easy thing to be convicted of. It was a heavy responsibility to bear. But Jephthah knew that the Lord had called him to be a judge. And even despite the oppositions and the rejections of men, Jephthah persuaded, Jephthah bargained, and Jephthah negotiated. How about you? Would you also have this same firm stand when you know the Lord has called you and led you? Doesn't matter what your past or your heritage may be. The Lord can use you if you are a child of God. The Lord is pleased to use you to serve Him if you are willing. Would you then serve the Lord? Would you remain persistent to stand firm even despite the oppositions and the rejections of men? You can stand firm if you know who you are fighting for, if you know what you are convicted with. To be convicted in God's truth, in God's word, and in God's calling for you. Jephthah, the judge who bargained to be a judge. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee that as Thy children, we have this privilege and this calling to serve Thee. Now, wherever Thou calls us to serve Thee, O Lord, may Thou give us the conviction and the confidence to stand firm for Thee. O Lord, we know that at times men may judge us and evaluate us based on the standards of the world. But, O Lord, we pray that Thou will help us to look at our service as how Thou will look at it. And as Thou hast led and called Thy people to do Thy work, then help us to remain faithful, to stand firm, no matter the oppositions or the rejections that might come. How we thank Thee that when we stand firm upon Thee, we know that we can have a strong foundation. O Father, we pray that today Thou will grant more and more people who will have this firm conviction upon Thy word, upon Thy truth, and upon Thee. Help us not to waver or to sway, especially with the various deceptions and the lies that we face today. We want to thank Thee for Thy precious word, which reminds us in these things. May Thou keep Thy word in our hearts. Hear this our prayer, for we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.